Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And if you want to hear the extended version of this episode, please join the Patreon campaign. This week, I'm talking to Shannon Kane about his book, Journey of an Eternal Soul, My Journey Through Past Lives to Spiritual Awakening. And we're also joined by past life regression practitioner, LaDonna Perminter. Hi, Shannon and LaDonna. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about Shannon's book, Journey of an Eternal Soul, My Journey Through Past Lives and Spiritual Awakening. LaDonna, could you tell us, what was your role in this?
I was the practitioner that assisted him to open to himself and to understand deeper what we actually are and why we're here.
What process did you use for this?
I actually have the knowledge of Dolores Cannon, and she used QHHT. She passed in 2014, and I ended up going and joining a conference, I believe was their first conference of practitioners in Sarasota, Florida. And things just begin to escalate where you have to allow to trust when things are nudging you and instructing you to follow through. And she was teaching me what I needed to know and what I was doing and why I was doing this work. And in doing so, after her passing, she says that she saw things differently than when she was actually here, and that her system was a system to jump as a diving board, to jump further and to expand constantly in motion, because that's what we all do. And so she said, do make it yours. And that is what it did. And so that's how Shannon found me through his beautiful journeys that he had with me.
So it was a kind of past life regression using QHHT.
Yes. And when we allow someone to open up, there is a powerful energy that is a thread within each of us, the higher self, the higher soul. It is the thread that binds us to Source God Creator, experiencing in life. And so I was shown all of us have a purpose. That is true. Your life purpose is to remember. Remember. You say, okay, what do I remember? Remember that you are all that you need to be at any given moment. We let our human self get in the way, causing trouble in life. You're a fractal Source God Creator. You are consciousness experiencing. You are energy, frequency, and vibration. And they doing the finger quotation, the loving thread of consciousness that guides us all. That one sentence is over and over and over and over. You are energy, frequency, and vibration. We master that, we will live the life we came to live. You are energy that can never not be. You're an immortal spiritual being, an is-be. So learning what you're here to do, those experiences you have are lessons you graduate in awareness through those experiences. But you can become aware enough that you can allow the experience, but not let life live you. You live life. And Shannon has mastered that understanding.
Shannon, before we get onto your spiritual experiences, could you tell us how your life was as you grew up?
So growing up, I'm from Kentucky originally. I kind of grew up in a little bit of a broken home. Had my parents, and I know, and one thing, kind of backtrack a little bit, Simon, I began an understanding of why that had to be. Thanks to working with LaDonna and my experiences after that. But my father was alcoholic. He was very abusive, especially towards me. I'm the only boy. I have two sisters. My mom and dad, they divorced when I was about 8 years old. My mom wasn't much better. She was in and out of rehab. She was in and out of psych wards. And all kinds of run-ins with the law and things like that. And myself, I was always I grew up kind of a loner. I started working on the farms. I was probably 10 years old working in tobacco on the horse farms. And a lot of times I would do it just to not be home. That and just being out and in the fields that just, I don't know, it seemed it was hard work, but at the same time, to me, it was kind of a breath of fresh air, if you would say. And then kind of before getting into the book too much, growing up, I was more of a loner. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was always felt out of place in school. I had visions and dreams and well, I guess you would say some of the spooky things would happen to me. I'd seen visions of people I'd never even seen before. I've had people talk to me. I had no clue who they were when I was a kid, and I didn't understand it. I actually thought it was crazy, especially coming from the background that I had. I just got good grades in school, but never really had any dreams and aspirations because I was always told, like, hey, you're not going to amount to anything. You're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. But I was out to prove all that wrong. Then you'll see part of the book was how I kind of, me and my wife came to be, which was a whole other, that could probably almost be a book in itself. But she gave me the purpose. She was the first person that believed in me, first person that showed me what love actually was, the one that gave me the goals and kind of pushed me forward to where I'm at today.
So was it with 5 years old? Was that the first time you had an experience? Was it you heard a voice?
Yeah, that was when I was 5 years old. I remember it because I was sleeping on the couch. And I don't really remember exactly why I had to sleep on it. Probably didn't have a bedroom, to be honest with you. So I was sleeping on the couch. I remember it like it was yesterday. There was a fish tank. The fish tank was a little bubbling, and there's a kind of light, a real dim light that illuminated the room a little bit. And then I just heard someone calling out for me. At first, it was like they were hollering. It was like saying Junior, like they're trying to get my attention. And Junior was weird to me because my grandfather called me Junior on my mom's side, but I didn't remember. He passed when I was probably 2 or 3 years old. So the only remembering I had of him was just what people told me. But it said junior. And I'm looking around. I don't see anybody. And then it seemed like it got louder and then started using my name, Shannon. And it scared me. I was a kid. So I started crying, and then ended up getting in a little trouble for crying in the middle of the night and waking up my dad.
Do you know who that was calling your name?
Yeah, I'm confident it was, I still to the day don't exactly know why, but it was my mom's dad. He was the only person that ever called me Junior.
And was that a big change for you then? Was it that your dreams became something different?
My dreams were always, I didn't have the traditional dreams, and especially after meeting LaDonna, it's now that I have an understanding, it's almost like I can kind of direct them sometimes. But then I would always have dreams of, like, I would be a different person. I would look different. I would be older. I'd be younger. It was like I was experiencing normal life. It wasn't the weird flying around dreams and all this other weird stuff you hear people talking about. I was just doing normal stuff. I would be a kid out on the playground. And my senses, like all my senses worked. If I ate food, I tasted it. If there was a smell, I would smell it. I would feel pain. A little bit of everything, just like I was just living a normal life.
Could you give us an example of one of the dreams?
Actually, one of the most recent ones is, it kind of ties everything together because it goes against dream stereotypes. One of the most recent dreams actually was traveling. We were traveling down a back road in a vehicle. It was me and my wife, and we had two of the kids with us. Back up a little bit, I'm a father of six. We only had two in this. I call it a timeline because I don't really see them as dreams anymore. But we were traveling and we stopped at this, it was like in the middle of nowhere. It was like gas station / restaurant thing that had a little souvenir shop in there. And I stopped and my wife stayed in the car with the kids. I stopped, got out, and I was going to grab something for snacks for the kids. Next thing you know, I'm looking at the souvenir shop and they had these weird looking video game systems that I had never seen. I don't even know what they were. So I picked it up and started asking about the pricing. And then they give me the pricing in a form of currency I'd never heard of. And in a language that it wasn't English. It wasn't a language that I'm even familiar with, but I knew it. I was able to speak it. who had actually called his boss to get some pricing for me on and one of the little game systems I was asking about. And it was in a totally different language that after I woke up, I had no idea what the language was. But during while I was there, I was speaking it. We were having conversation, but I knew exactly what he was saying. He knew what I was saying. And it was just, I walked down, got us some, I got some food, took it back to the car. I could smell the food being cooked. I could see the people. It's like I could still see the energies of the people around me. Everybody was happy. Everybody was having a good time. And it was crowds of people. This is a really busy restaurant. Probably the only one for miles based off of where we were at. And it was really cool to me. And that was probably one of the first ones where I spoke a different language. And it wasn't like, again, right now, I couldn't tell you what language it was. It was some language and some currency. I had tried to Google it. It was in the middle of the night. I grabbed my phone trying to Google what the currency was. Couldn't find it anywhere.
So in the dream, you were Shannon. Is that right? Do you think you were in another country or even in another universe?
I think it may have been a totally different universe, Simon. And I don't know. I knew I was me, but even I looked different. My wife was different. Like, in any of these dreams, that happens a lot. I'll still play the role as me, but I may not be Sharon. I may not even be, my skin color may be different. I'd be shorter, taller. It's all, like I said, it's all different, but I always know I'm me.
I'd like to ask LaDonna, what do you make of these dreams?
That is so funny because there's a quotations again, the loving thread of consciousness wants me to say to you, because of what you all were discussing, and Shannon would understand this. Okay, and because he's heard it enough. You see the dreamer dreaming the dream. Who is the dreamer dreaming that dream? You are the dreamer. You have just forgotten. You are the dreamer dreaming the dream. You are dancing with an illusion of your making, and the steps of the dance are within your choosing. But it is time. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Because we are going, Simon, through the time of energy for the next several years where we are asking people to wake up out of the illusion. The sessions change over time. They, Lone Thread of Consciousness, Storm of Fingers, they normally tell me in a session, they communicate to me through different clients, and they will tell me that the sessions are changing and they have done it. Everything they've ever said has happened. But we are now moving into this time. We need to wake up and understand who we are. So in the sessions now, you are remembering current or future times. Very rarely do I go into the past trying to heal. Usually it's releasing. That's the whole purpose of the sessions, is to release what's holding you back to keep you from being able to advance. But this conversation ended up on the dreams was the door that they wanted that comment made to you all.
Did you have dreams that were about past lives?
I just, to me, Simon, everything is kind of, and the way I've seen things even since then is, I know we call them past lives, but I don't see them as past lives, if that makes sense. To me, everything is just now. So the different
right.
lives that I had that a lot of people that we perceive as being a past life, it never did seem like the past. It was always like these things are happening right now. Now, even in, like, for the example of the roadside gas station or restaurant that I was talking about, the vehicles looked different. They didn't look like they were, if I were guessing, they were probably from the 70s, something like that. They looked different, but everything else looked like it was futuristic. So it was kind of strange, but I don't know that our whole perception of time, and now would I call some of them past lives? For sure. If we were to look at the definition of what we consider a past life, definitely. I do think that they are all lives that I have and am, again, everything's now. So these are lives that I have lived. We're probably having this conversation. Who knows where else? Maybe I'm having it and we're flipped roles. I mean, it's really limitless.
That's correct. And they use the analogy, or they download through me, the analogy of a train. You'll never think of a train the same again after I say this. You see the train, and when you see the arms going down, you think, oh my Lord, how long is this train going to be? And the cars just keep going and going and going. You are that train, and those cars are past lives, and they're all happening just like that at the same time. Anytime I regress anyone, they can go to the past, they can go to the now, they can go to the future. Furthest I've been in the future is 3,739, only because that client wanted to change vehicle. You are energy riding in the vehicle, experiencing every one of these. So in the train analogy, we will dip into wherever that soul before me needs to connect and understand why certain things are happening in their life. Usually things trigger people to seek this understanding. And it's a beautiful experience. And Shannon does very well at it. He drops into a session and he goes.
We're talking about time then, how it's all happening right now.
Yeah.
There was a time you witnessed your aunt's funeral before it happened. So I suppose in a way you witnessed it while it was happening, but for us on linear time, it was before.
Exactly. That was one of the, I don't know, it was so real of an experience because of my aunt, and part of the thing that you probably saw in there. So I lived with my aunt for a little bit, my mom and dad had some behind the scenes, whatever they were doing, trying to determine who was going to get the government paycheck off of us most likely. But she had actually dropped me and my sister, my oldest sister, who's still younger than me. She had dropped us to with my aunt in Florida. And I still don't know today where they went, but she went with my youngest sister, who was a baby at the time. And they had left, and we had stayed with my aunt for about a year. We enrolled in school and everything there. My aunt had partial custody and all of that fun stuff. So we got pretty close in that year of time, because she was actually, it was like a parental figure that I never had. She was super nice to us. We had always had clean clothes. We always had good food. And we were in Florida, which is kind of where my love for Florida began and why I'm here now. But I had, once everything had gone back, some time had passed. And once we had got back, my dad had ended up getting custody of us as kids. I just went to sleep one night, and the next thing you know, I'm in, and now that I know, I didn't know at the time, but it was a funeral home, and we just started talking, and she always drank the glass bottle Pepsis, because she always, even when you used to be able to turn them the bottles for, you'd get some change back for it here. She would always buy the glass bottle Pepsis, and that's what she drank. She always had one in her hand. But there she was drinking. She was drinking her Pepsi. We were just having a normal conversation. And it was like a goodbye. It was like she told me about it. I hadn't spoken with her in quite some time. Her and my mom had gotten into some kind of argument, and I still hadn't got to talk to her as much like I did when prior to that. But when it was almost like I was there, and now that I see things that way, I think I was there. Like, I think I did see it, because when it happened, everything went exactly like I knew she had passed before my mom had told me. And then when my mom told me, it was like, I didn't experience the sadness a lot of people experience, Simon, with death, and that the way people see death and the way we grieve. I don't know. I was probably always seen as an outsider because of that. But in this instance here, I'd already got to say my goodbyes, and it wasn't as sad of a thing. She was struggling with some things herself, and she completed her journey here and went home.
Then was it that you could see auras around certain people?
And now I can't even more. So I generally, and now my wife's learned to trust it over time, but it was like almost like everybody had a glow. And then that glow sometimes would be brighter, sometimes it would be dimmer, sometimes it would be of different shades. And even now when I get into big crowds, one of the issues that I have, like, I have to be careful with the crowd I go around. So I'm never going to be able to really go do like the big loud concerts or things like that, because it's almost like I'm drawing in the negative energy. I get really frustrated, and then I have to leave, and then I have to release that. And part of the way I do that is simply meditation and grounding. But if I get into big areas, I can't do the normal, I never was one to go to the bars. I never was one to do anything like that, because places like that, there's a lot of negative energy, and it's like I'm drawing it like a magnet. And I used to not be very good at releasing that. So I grew up with, I've always had, it seems like I had anger issues in high school. I was always getting in fights, and I never did understand why. I'd get in crowds of people and I would just get so angry. And really I didn't, at the time I blamed it on my parents, to be 100% honest with you. I figured this got where I got knocked in the head a few times, and which I'm sure it didn't help, but now I know, now I see it differently. And like, it's just because of the people I was around. It was the whole negative thing. And instead of me being able to release that in a healthy manner, I would release that in the form of anger, punching a hole in the wall or fighting somebody or something crazy like that. But I've had to learn how to, since then I can see, like when I can go into a crowded room and I can see the energies, I can tell if there's a bunch of negative energy. I feel it as soon as I walk in the room. I can feel it. I can see it. And if it's something crazy negative, I can get out of there before that even affects me like that. Or in some cases, there may be somebody that needs to release that energy and somebody that I can help with. I have definitely done that a few times too.
And that's beautifully stated, Shannon, because that, Simon, is basically the big factor of why the people come and went in the regression. It lets them release programming from others, programming from family members, programming from society, programming from what we watch, what we absorb, explore how energetic imprints absorbed from other people can shape one's emotions, relationships, many of one's life patterns, generational trauma, inherited emotional patterns, ancestral healing, trauma work, releasing programming that is unnecessary, supporting deep emotional energetic transformation, learning who they are and why these things are happening, just like he was just describing. He realized why it was happening. And this helps them to be able to release those things in this time frame of the next 3 to 4 to 5 years. There is powerful energy coming in that is going to upgrade humanity, upgrade the DNA, if you would. And coming from medicine, you know there's a lot of part of the DNA we don't even know why it's there. And these things are going to help us be better creators. We're living what I like to think of as the form of revelations now. Ooh, so much stuff is being revealed. Almost daily, it will spin the mind. But this is for us to release so that we can absorb this energy and become better humans, better creators, and not create the mess that we have done. But in saying that, it does serve its own purpose, because everything is positive, negative. See a straight line. That's your timeline. Now see a curvy line going up and down that line. That's you experiencing your lifeline. And then imagine positive above and negative below. And in those dips down, those were areas where you may learn life lessons. Those things will become easier and better controlled and understood, in my thought process, if people understood why it's presenting to them. Doesn't mean that things will come to you, because you did plan and grow through these lessons, but you will be better at handling the lesson. And in that way, we begin to shape into better humans.
So if you're taking somebody through a hypnotic regression, do you have techniques that help to release this stuff?
They do it themselves, Simon, because we take them to an area where they understand, where they can see both sides of everything. And I have taken clients through a lot of experiences. And then one of the things that they learn is you can see both sides. And in my understanding of all my clients, and this is where it gets really strange, Simon, because a lot of these people don't even know that each other even exists in this world, but that they can have common threads of this between the sessions. And it's just energy. Everything is energy. That's why I'm saying, understand energy, understand frequency, and understand vibration. And you have got the master key of this ride. But what we're doing is when you cross over, you are met by the counsel that you meet going out. That's your counsel. It's assigned to you. You meet them going out and you meet them coming back in. And then you go into an energy area where you have a 360-degree panoramic view of your experience you just went on an excursion to experience. And then you see different things that you experience in your life and you will see both sides of the story. Not only will you see it, but you will feel it. And that's where the key of the growth is. Some people want to, and even as they're doing the life review, begin to plan the next excursion. But the time for the excursions are coming to an end because we need to advance higher. We need to advance to higher understanding, being better creators, creating that sense of heaven here by creating a better world. But we do have to have the negative energy, but the positive energy now is fixing to dance the strongest part of this dance and lead it forward. So there's a lot of things coming that is wonderful for humanity.
Shannon, I think you say in the book that you could read people in a way that it's almost like you'd see them, they'd be smiling and friendly and seem very happy, but you could tell inside that they had other intentions.
That's something that, again, at first I didn't understand it. So a little background about me. I actually, when me and my wife had gotten married, we had a little one, and I had to figure out, hey, what am I going to do? I went to college for computer electronics, actually going for a computer science degree. But back then it was computer electronics, right, to do motherboard repair and things like that. So in my mind, I was like, hey, I'm going to stay away from people. And again, then I didn't know why I wanted to stay away from people. But I was like, I'm going to work on computers. Computers are going to do exactly what I tell them to do. I just learned how to make those things work. And computers were still, they were still fairly new at the time. Anyway, but lo and behold, the universe had a different plan for me. We had found out that my wife was pregnant with her first son, and I had to figure out a way to pay for things at the time. I was working as a dough collector at the time, and I was just trudging along. I think I was making $9.50 an hour. And they're like, hey, if you do hit these bonus levels and things like that, you can get up to the max bonus. And it was like $30,000 a year. Still not too much, but a lot more than $9.50 an hour. I hit it every single month. There wasn't a single time that I didn't hit it. And a lot of the reason I was able to do that, because I could actually, it was like every person that I talked to, there was a story. There was like, even as a bill collector, which used everybody, nobody wants to deal with a bill collector, but I had a different approach. It was the way I talked to people. I knew they were always trying to find the issue of what happened. And generally there was a story there. And I always wanted to hear that story. And then when I would get that story, and I knew right away when I was talking, if they were lying to me or not. And I had no, it's hard for me to explain why I knew, but I just knew. So I would get on the phone. I would talk to people. I would, a lot of times, instead of me demanding them to pay, I would find ways to help them. And then in turn, I was in the top five of, we had 500 employees. I was in the top five in my first 90 days of employment. And within 6 months, they had promoted me to sales and moved me to Louisville, Kentucky. And then in sales, I still crack up today because I've held a lot of professional titles since then. But when I first got into sales, I came in, I was in tennis shoes and khakis and the old beat up shirt. I didn't even know how to dress professionally. I didn't have anybody to teach me to tie a tie or any of the things you would see a professional man would dress like. I wasn't that. But me and my boss then, we actually kind of looked back on it when I first came in, but I was really good at what I did. My boss at the time, he taught me, he showed me how to dress. I went on YouTube, learned how to tie a tie. But the reason I bring up sales is because I always approached any kind of sales thing that I've done. And I've been in the mortgage industry, I've been in the auto industry, and I always excelled in those things. Because I was able to, when I met with people, I was able to see their stories. I was able to put things together in a sales world instead of me like, I've never lied to anybody. I've never misled anybody in any way. And I knew a lot of people that did things like that, especially in the auto and mortgage industry, but I never had to. I was always able to figure out what their goals actually really were. Obviously I got stories that they had no idea why they were even telling. People would just open up and I would hear stories about loved ones that they had lost. I would hear problems within their marriage that they currently were in, problems they were having with their kids, so on and so forth. They would just spew these things out and we were able to talk about it. And a lot of times the selling point for me, I wasn't selling anything. I was just listening and talking and helping people. At the time, I didn't realize helping people, but now that I know, I was helping people. And then the sale just happened. I didn't even have to I just kind of went over what we had, and they always would buy with me because that was somebody they could trust, and I would help them with other things too. So
it's like some kind of empathy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that's soul work right there.
Hi, Simon here. As you may know, I hold a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy, and I'm certified in past life regression therapy. Whether you're seeking to resolve personal issues or delve into your past lives, I'm here to guide you. Visit pastliveshypnosis.co.uk to book a free 20-minute consultation. Sessions are conveniently conducted over Zoom. And if you book your session within 24 hours of the consultation, you'll receive a 10% discount. If you were on a Zoom call with someone, could you see their aura, or do you have to be with them?
I really don't see it on a Zoom call, but I can still pick up on things even just with the voice. So I can generally hear when I'm talking to somebody with their voice, as if they're being, like, I always know if somebody's being truthful or not. It's very rare that I don't pick up on that. Generally, I always see that somebody's intent, like if somebody's having a bad day or somebody's frustrated. I've been on Zoom. As a matter of fact, I was on one yesterday, and somebody synced digitally, so I was able to, I was doing a training session on a new system we were rolling out for a company I'm working with. And I saw somebody on the Zoom call, and they were out to me. If you looked at it, anybody looked at them normally, it probably wouldn't have seen any difference. I was able to tell that they were frustrated. And then I was able to have a conversation with them after that, and come to find out they were frustrated about, because it's a change in the company that I'm doing. It's a new system, and they had somebody that did things for them before, and they're having to do some stuff, and we were able to talk through it, and they need a little extra training, a little extra me talking to them, and change their whole day. So they didn't really see an aura, but I can still pick up in the voice, and I don't know how to really explain why a whole lot, but a lot of it's just in the sound of the voice, so facial features and things like that.
And is there a thing where you could sense if somebody has some kind of spirit attachment, whether positive or negative?
Sometimes. That is, again, that I'm still nowhere near where I want to be in my spiritual journey. And I'm by no means perfect or know everything. I just know everything that I've experienced as a normal guy that had no idea that, like, this wasn't something that I had planned for or even tried to achieve, just to be honest with you. So I had no idea that these things were going to happen. But it was almost like I got this whole thing woke me up to, like, why my life was the way it was when I was a kid, why we're here, what the meaning of a whole life, like, all that was opened up to me. But as far as seeing attachments that people have, it's really hard to explain. I don't know that I see the actual attachments. I more see, like, the energies, and more like if people are in a bad place, or and I always get, like, little nudges. Like, it could be something as simple. I mean, you never know how much something, a simple compliment will do for somebody. You could see somebody walking in Walmart, there'll be a person. And sometimes I can tell my wife, hey, go ahead and tell her that she looks nice today or something like that. Just because I see that, and then they need that. But the way it was shown to me, and actually I picked this up in one of my sessions with LaDonna, things like that. It was shown to me in one of my sessions, like a lightning kind of effect, how, you know, lightning travels really fast and it goes through a whole, to me, it was showing me like it went through a whole bunch of people. Just one thing, such as simple as a compliment, complimenting somebody's clothes, complimenting somebody's hair, whatever it may be, somebody, hey, you did a great job, I'm proud of you. And little bitty things like that. And the next thing you know, is they take that, they're in a great mood, and guess what? They do that to the next person, and the next person, and the next person. And before you know it, people say you can't change the world. Just have a few people do that and watch how the world changes.
And what do we call those, Shannon? Yeah. Seeds. Plant seeds. And there are many, many seeds in your everyday life. As Shannon was describing that to you, what came to mind was the commercial, the insurance commercial, where you saw someone pay a kindness, and then the person, next person, that person, you know, is a ripple effect. And that's a big part of why they are trying to show you about energy. And what we can do is, what we put out is going to continue, and what we put out in the negative is going to come back also. So beautiful, beautiful, Shannon.
Shannon, you talk in the book about time where there was a car crash and time stopped.
Yeah, so it was my first car. I had a 1981 Monte Carlo. I had gone, and we went to play basketball at somebody's house or something. Me and actually lived with them because I didn't have anywhere to stay at the time. I had already moved out of my dad's place. I was 16 years old, maybe about to be 17. But we were driving back from playing basketball, and it was a really curvy. It was in the Appalachian Mountains of Kentucky, so southeastern Kentucky. Really curvy, really like the elevation is pretty high, probably the highest you can be in Kentucky, as a matter of fact. So I'm driving back, listening to music, and what's strange is I saw this crash happen before it happened, and it's almost like the music had, it was the movie where they see those things before they happen. It was just like that. That's why I say some of these movies are actually, they have to be based off real stuff. That horror movie where people see their deaths before they happen. I can't remember the name of it right off. But it was just like that. I saw the crash. I saw what hit me. I knew exactly what was about to happen. And I told my friend to brace himself that we were about to crash. Next thing I know, there was another car came around a curve. He was on the wrong side of the road. And again, these are really small two-lane roads, really curvy. And he was on my side and he hit me right in the front. He was oddly enough, also in a Monte Carlo. It was in the same car that I was, different color. So it was like two tanks collided because those things were made out of some metal. And it hit me and it rolled me over an embankment. And luckily I was able to, I landed on the top and the whole top had crushed in. I wasn't buckled up, so I kind of rolled around. But when that happened, it's like the car had something that stopped it. Because this could have been really, really far over. The car had stopped on its top, didn't roll anymore. It's like that everything, there was no sound. There was no, it was super strange at the time because I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. And it was just all of a sudden I'm out of the car. I'm standing outside. I don't know how I got out. I knew when it would first happen in my mind where the car, okay, this car is going to explode because that's what happens in the movies. But the next thing I'm out, my friend's out. I didn't have a single scratch on me. After rolling around, and if you would have saw the car, the whole top, they rushed there because they expected to see dead bodies. Everybody there, they actually got around in this small town that, hey, there was fatalities, this and that, but the whole top of the car was crushed all the way in. To this day, I don't know how I got out. Somebody on the other side was definitely looking over me and my friend. But we were just standing there, and then I go up and I see that the guy that hit me was somebody that, cause my mom did some foster care stuff at one point, and it was somebody she had in foster care. He was driving in the same year and make model car that I was driving in. I knew the guy, and it was just like everything happened. I don't know. It was like it was placed, like part of the play with that had to happen. But still today, I have no idea how I got out of the car. I have no idea why I didn't get hurt. I didn't even get my guts. I kid you not. There wasn't a single, like not even a little scratch. I didn't get anything.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? How these things come together. It's
yeah.
Maybe some kind of spirit guide or something interfered.
For sure. That's the only thing that would have made sense. Cause even everybody was baffled. Because the paramedics were there, the fire department, all that. They were all there. Right? They were baffled. They don't know how that we didn't get crushed. Because, like, if you saw the car, it doesn't look like a human would fit in there.
Remember, Shannon, that everything that you experience and anything that anybody experienced, even the things that are hard to experience and to actually be witness of it or knowledgeable of it, they are for a reason. They're ripples. They're called ripples. And so that everyone that learns from that grows from that. So everything does have a purpose. I just wanted to make sure to say that.
Could you tell us what it was like for you, Shannon, to go through your past life regressions? And could you tell us about a couple of the past lives that came up?
Oh, for sure. Let me start by telling you how I met LaDonna, because that's kind of a story in itself. So a little about me is I've, since getting out of sales, I've kind of gone into I do digital marketing. I do build websites, things like that. I'm pretty much anything e-commerce and digital marketing. I have my hands in. So I'm big on marketing, and there's a point to this. I'm searching. I'm actually, it started, Simon. I had back when I turned 40, I say my check engine light came on. I went to the, I had my leg swell up really big 4th of July. And my wife made me go to the doctor. I'd never really gone to the doctor or anything before. They'd always been really healthy. But my leg had swelled up. I had one of my legs just swelled up out of nowhere. She made me go. Well, come to find out, my blood pressure was up. I had issues with, like, my kidneys. I was dehydrated. I'd been sick and still went to the gym sick and shouldn't have done that. But this is kind of where it all began, my leg swelling up. So I found out my blood pressure was high. Part of the blood pressure thing, that they're like, hey, you're going to have to make sure you reduce your stress, take this medication, things like that. So the one way I reduced my stress was I found a big stress point for me was driving to work, simply because of the traffic and people driving crazy and everybody's in a hurry, crashes, all the things that can happen on your way to work that are frustrating. So I started listening to podcasts. One of the podcasts that I had picked up on was yours. And at the time, it was actually your old name of your podcast, but I'd picked up on your podcast and started listening to it. And the interest that I had gained from reading The Many Wives, Many Bastards many years prior to that kind of all flooded back in. So I started listening to the stories of a lot of your people you had on the podcast. I started really diving into that. And then I'm like, and that year I told my wife, she's asking what I wanted for Father's Day. I was like, you know what? Like, I had her listen to some of your shows too. I was like, I want to experience this. Now, keep in mind, at the time, my wife's father is he was a Buddhist monk turned Christian preacher. She's half Thai. So he was a Thai man that turned Christian preacher. And when I say Christian preacher, I mean Pentecostal Christian preacher. So he was like, they're quite strict when in Christianity. If you're familiar with Pentecostal at all. She was like, hey, in her mind, things like this were, you know, they were frowned upon in a lot of the churches and stuff like that. And she was pretty, you know, her dad's a great man, still loving to death. But she was like, hey, I don't know about this, but if that's what you want, let's find somebody and see if we can get your regression session done. Well, she had started searching online, found somebody with great reviews. I looked at his website. I mean, this, and me, it's habit. I'm looking at a website and I'm like, okay, let's see how this guy's, how he's doing with his marketing, I'm piecing it together. I can pick him a guy up as a client from mine. In reality, I'm looking to do business on his side. But he was in Ocala, which Ocala is about an hour and a half probably from where we live now. And I'm like, well, he has great reviews. Everybody speaks really highly of him. But let me search a little bit, because it's just not, something's there. It's not that I don't know that this is the guy, even though that everything that I know in my professional world is telling me, hey, this is the guy. So I start searching and I come across LaDonna's website. Now, don't take this the wrong way, LaDonna. I mean, you've had this conversation. LaDonna's website wasn't set up that way. It wasn't a big, hey, eye-catching marketing big piece. The information's all there. It was clean. I could find it. I was able to contact her. All of that was there. But me looking at it from what I do as a profession, I'm like, well, this doesn't look like it's a very well put together website to actually catch people. But something spoke to me about that. I'm like, you know what? And it wasn't pricing, because pricing is generally pretty much the same over there. But it wasn't a pricing thing. I really had no idea at the time why I needed to contact LaDonna. But something kept nudging me to do so. So I listened to that nudge and I was like, hey, I had her schedule. April's my wife. She had went online and scheduled to LaDonna. We met LaDonna, and that's when I knew right away that it's almost like I knew her and she was family. And we started talking like we had already met. We'd been together for lifetimes. It was really cool. Since then, we've adopted her as our adopted mom now. But my first session, I went in. Now, keep in mind, I wanted to experience what your people had experienced with the past life regressions, and that was my plan. That's what I wanted. I'm fully open to it. I wasn't sure if I would be able to go under like some of the people I'd heard on the show. I had no idea what to expect, so I went in completely open-minded. My first session, one of the first ones I remember it. I'd gone under, and I had went into a life, and I was in this rainforest, and I was protecting somebody. I was like a hired, looked like I was part of some kind of hired military to protect. It was I was Hispanic in nature, and I was protecting, and I'm still today, I don't know who I was protecting them from, but from somebody else that was trying to get this guy. This guy was an important figure of some kind, and I was to protect him. Well, we're going through the woods or through the rainforest to get him to an extraction point. And the next thing you know, we're ambushed. We get ambushed by a whole bunch of people with guns, and they're shooting at us. And I'm trying to get him to come behind a tree to follow me, and where we're going to hide. And of course, I'm shooting back. And he gets scared and runs off, and ends up getting killed. Well, during that time, I was shot in the leg. I was actually shot in the leg that I had problems with. And I want to mention this one. In retrospect, because this was the power of my first one, that I got an awakening. It's almost like I got slapped in the head. So after that session, well, I went into a couple of other ones too. But this one to me was probably the most important test light that I had experienced, because when I went home, the next morning, I was able to move my leg. Now, I had been dealing with sciatica, or at least that's what the doctors had told me that my issue was. So at the time, and Simon, if you met me, I'm really big in going to the gym. I work out 6 days a week. That's one of my favorite places to be. But I couldn't stand for more than 10 minutes at this time. I couldn't go to the mall without having to sit down. I could barely even go to the grocery. I had to sit down because my leg would hurt so bad. I couldn't tie my own shoes. My wife had to tie my shoes. And it seems like it got worse and worse and worse. And then the next day, I'm not thinking anything of it, getting dressed and putting my shoe on. I pick my leg up and tie my shoe. I'm like, hey, hang on a second. What is this? So I start moving around. I start bending. If you would have saw me, I'm like jumping around and bending and doing things that I hadn't been able to do in quite some time. And I holler at my wife, and she thought something was wrong. She comes running in. I'm like, look at this. Look what I can do. And I'm showing her. I was like, look, I can bend over. I can do this. I can bend my legs. I can tie my shoes. What they had told me was sciatica was gone. It was completely gone. I had no pain. I was able to, from that point on, I was able to move around. I was able to do the things that I hadn't been able to do in a very long time. And it was, and now I know it's because I released the trauma from that past life. I had to actually carry over the guilt of that guy dying into what we would call the disconsciousness that I'm in now. That guilt was still with me because I failed my mission. I let him die. And then I was shot in doing so, but where that I was shot was exactly the same place I was having the pain, which was pretty wild to me. But what happened with that is my wife saw that. And this is one reason I bring it up, because in all reality, I think a lot of this experience, Simon, that comes back for me, even as a kid, the kid and me having to go to the hospital, the high blood pressure, the finding you, the finding Madonna, was for my wife. It wasn't even for me. It was, she saw that. And then she was like, you know what? She wanted to do a session with Madonna. Now, again, this is the person, and Madonna can attest to you with their first Mickey Pink. She was strictly by the King James Version Bible, to the word. And that there's anything wrong with that by any means, but her upbringing would have seen going to do something like this as a very negative thing. Anything outside of the church was bad to this type of religion. Well, she did that, and she was able to open. She learned so much about herself. She was able to overcome a lot of her childhood traumas during her session with Madonna, and it really. Now, me and my wife have been best friends. And again, you've probably read in my book how I saw my wife before I even met my wife. I actually met her in a dream before I ever met her in person. So we've been through many lifetimes together. And we have different roles and things like that, but we've always been together. And we've had a great marriage. But after this, it's like everything times 100, like our communication skills were opened up, our friendship as companions, everything had increased. She was able, like her light had gotten brighter. Her dreams changed. She started listening to some of your podcasts too, as a matter of fact.
But even her dream said that she was having. She was able to do one. She actually went under. She met the actual creator. I'd never got to do that. But she had actually got to meet the creator. She had a conversation. She explained it to me. She woke up in tears, but in tears of joy. Like she had got the message that, hey, this religion thing isn't, it's not that religion's bad. And I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm saying that, because I think any place, and just something we picked up on Madonna and something that we've picked up even in our own world, if it's love, it's good. So if you go in your religion and it's nothing but love, you are where you need to be. But with the fear is where it's, it gets a little tricky, because she grew up being afraid, like, hey, what if I go to hell? What if I'm doing something wrong? What if I don't understand something, and I'm doing it, like, there's this whole big playbook, and what if I don't understand the whole thing? And it ends up putting me into this big lake of fire. So that puts a lot of toll on people. So people think that if they're not perfect, they're not living by, certain commandments and things like that. They live their whole life worrying, and they're living in a worry. They aren't really living at all. They're worrying. They're in fear. And when you have that fear, fear is the thing that we're controlled with. We're controlled by fear, because we got to feed that negative energy battery. So she was able to overcome that. Now she still believes in Jesus, still believes in God. She still believes in these things, but she sees it differently now. We understand, and we truly, in our beliefs and from what we've seen, there's not a hell. There's not a place to go burn after we leave here. I experienced what one could consider hell in one of my regression sessions, but it wasn't a fire thing. It was all still in love, even in that. But it was all really coming when you get to see some of your life, that some of the things that you have done and how you made other people feel. That part can feel like a kind of a mini hell, because you're like, hey, man, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have did this, or I should have did that. But it's all in love. It's all in the, so that you can see, and I got the perspective from other people too. So
exactly.
Also, you say in the book that you had guided tours of the non-physical realms that exist between incarnations. Can you describe a little bit of what you saw there?
Yes, it was like a... So I've seen a couple different... My regression sessions changed. Again, and LaDonna probably attests to you, we may go in with my intentions of living a past life. And after a couple of sessions, that stopped. I didn't go to past lives anymore. I started seeing other things. And one of them being, we would be on the other side, and it was almost like this. I had these really tall, and they're like really tall. I call them beings, but they were really just light. But to me, I knew who they were. Like I know them forever. And it was my counsel. These are three really tall light beings. And the whole room, it was like if you were to take a, let me think of a, you know, what's the place where Superman lives? It was similar to that, where Superman's place, with all the crystals, and it's really bright. And everything, it's just because it's all light. Everything, literally everything is light frequency. But it was really bright. And the colors, I would say shades of white, but even that, they're really tough to explain outside of and being in this body, I guess. But the beings were super knowledgeable, super loving. It was almost like, and it's funny because my wife explains it, like when you go there, it's like a surprise birthday party. It's like you're going there and everybody wants you there. Everybody's excited to see you. It's the it's home. It's where all of your family, all of your friends, all of your everybody that has been part of any of your incarnations, they're all there. They're all there to greet you. They're all there to help you. We had one of the really cool experiences, and it may be something you asked. Sorry if I answered it ahead of time. One of the cool experiences in one of my sessions, when I went to the other side, I was greeted by as a big, it's funny because it's like a bubbly, bouncing ball of light is the best way that I know to explain it. And I'm like, what is it? What is this? But it seemed really happy. It was really excited. And here I come in. And again, at the Simon, the feeling that you have when you go to this place, it's like nothing. It's really, really hard to explain other than a surprise birthday party, because it's exciting. It's nothing but love. You feel this big, it's almost like a gush of love hits you. But this ball of light starts bouncing towards me. And then it's giggling, it's laughing, and it's like it has, it's like there's a joke that everybody knows, and I don't get it yet. It's one of the ways I could explain it. But then I find out that this, when she comes, and I say she, but again, it's a ball of light. But when I find out, it's my daughter. It's my youngest daughter now. I actually was there as the little ball of light, and my youngest daughter was telling me that she came here to be one of my guides. She still today probably don't know it. She's 5 years old now, but this was a few years ago when I found this out. But she was there as in her light body, so to speak, and had a conversation with my daughter, which was probably one of the coolest things that has happened there. And I've seen the vast, the area where you go. They call it the Hall of Records, the Akashic Records. I've been there, which is really neat. And again, all these places were, it's like they were created with love, if that makes light and love. That's the best way that I can explain the other side. It's where you feel welcomed. It's where you belong. It's home. That's the absolute best way to explain it. It is home.
Well, it's been great talking to you guys. First of all, I'd like to ask you, LaDonna, could you let us know your web address, how people could find you?
Yes, it's Your Soul Recovery. It's yoursoulrecovery.com. And my email is yoursoulrecovery@gmail.com.
Do you do sessions over Zoom or is it all in person?
No, I do them. That was part of what I was saying about going to that conference in Sarasota. On the way back, I could feel Dolores's energy and she was giving me the message that you need to do this online. This was pre-COVID, remember? And so I'm thinking, online, wow, whoa. And because that seemed to be something that the system did not want to have to do because it had to be strictly how she did it. And she said, make it your own. Do you know what to do? And so when I got back, I thought, okay, well, I'm adventure anyway, but I'm going to check this out. And so I ended up, and I don't advertise. It's because it's energy work. People find me. And so I ended up doing a session with a gentleman on a 65-foot schooner off the coast of Bali. And I'm thinking, well, if I can do that, I can see people anywhere. And that's how it began.
So we've been talking about Shannon's book and his experiences. The book is Journey of an Eternal Soul, My Journey Through Past Lives to Spiritual Awakening. And people can get that on Amazon, can't they?
Yes, worldwide on Amazon.
Well, it's been great talking to you both. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, Simon. It's been a huge pleasure, man. And thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. This week, I was talking to Shannon Kane about his book, Journey of an Eternal Soul, My Journey Through Past Lives to Spiritual Awakening. And we're also joined by past life regression practitioner, LaDonna Perminter. If you want to hear the rest of this amazing interview, you can sign up to Patreon. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and released 2 days before the free versions. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife. Or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, has sold over 2,000 copies and has over 50 five-star reviews. You can get it on Amazon, on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.